Welcome to Mindfulness for Mental Health Carers, session 4. So this is called Mindfulness to Help You Sleep. And today we'll be looking at how you can use mindfulness to get to sleep or to get back to sleep if you wake up in the middle of the night. So before we jump in, let's start by acknowledging and celebrating the traditional owners of the countries we're all calling in from. I live and work on beautiful Ngunnawal and Ngambri country and wish to pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. And also extending that respect to all elders and First Nations people across the country and present here today. So we'd also like to acknowledge the work of mental health consumers, carers and advocates, past and present, who continue to work towards a reformed mental health system. Carers Australia and Simply Mindful are inclusive organisations who celebrate people of all backgrounds, genders, sexualities, cultures, bodies and abilities. So these sessions have been developed with mental health carers and we're really grateful to the Mental Health Carers Advisory Group for their input. And the courses are also part of a project seeking to promote and improve carers' wellbeing. So this project is delivered in partnership by Carers Australia, Mental Health Australia, Mental Health Carers Australia and Simply Mindful, which is supported by funding from the Australian Government Department of Health. Also really acknowledging what it's taken for you to make the space and time for this. So a really warm welcome to you and we hope you find this helpful. I'm Megan Layton and I'm the Director of Simply Mindful. I'm a mindfulness meditation and yoga teacher and I also teach things like positive neuroplasticity training, self-compassion and I'm also a mental health social worker and I've worked in mental health for almost 25 years. So I'm really excited to be sharing some of this with you today. A little bit about how these sessions will work. Please take good care of yourself. Everything's voluntary and just do what feels right for you. You can return to these recordings multiple times and you can also just use the guided practice recordings anytime. See if you can bring an attitude of openness and curiosity, of non-judgmental, open, kind curiosity. This enables us to be open to learning new things. And with mindfulness, it's a bit different to many other things in life. There's no way of passing or failing or being right or wrong or even good or bad at it. So really encouraging you to bring curiosity. What happens when I do this? And how might I adapt it to suit my life? Einstein, the wonderful Einstein himself said, curiosity is more important than knowledge. And he also said, I'm not specially intelligent. I'm just very curious. So with that as our piece of encouragement, please adapt things to suit you. And your feedback is also very welcome. So please send us your feedback via the Carers Australia website if you like. The other thing we know is that mindfulness is beneficial. There's lots of compelling research and it can also be challenging. So when you finally pause and slow down, stuff can come up. So if you find that you need support, there are contact details for free support services on the Carers Australia website. So, sleep. Today we're going to explore some tips for getting to sleep, some tips for getting back to sleep if you wake in the middle of the night, and we'll try a mindfulness exercise for each of those, and also some short mindfulness exercises you can use during the day to help train yourself to drop into rest for brief periods when there are little opportunities. And we'll also briefly revisit some of the information from earlier sessions. So a little bit about sleep. So learning to rest, even for 1 minute or a few minutes a few times a day, helps to train us to do this more easily at night. And this is because stress can really become a habit. We can get so used to being on high alert that we stay in stress mode or highly agitated mode when we don't really need to be. So when stress becomes our normal, we don't tend to see these little opportunities to rest and let go or relax. So just as stress can become a habit or a pattern, the good news is that resting or learning to let go can also become a habit. And by resting, I don't necessarily mean, you know, lying on the couch being a couch potato. It can actually just be in a standing position or seated and just learning to pause and take a few breaths and just settle down for a minute. The other thing we know about sleep is that it's really important to drop the struggle to sleep. So when we struggle or get frustrated or worried about not being able to sleep, unfortunately, we're reinforcing that pattern and making it stronger. Or the association between waking up and worrying and activating the sympathetic nervous system, which increases our energy, means we're actually more likely to produce stress hormones and less likely to be in the rest heal digeste, which is the parasympathetic nervous system. So we want to learn how not to react and resist or get upset when we're awake, even though it's not ideal to be awake and we'd rather be asleep. So we can do this by learning and practicing mindfulness, which helps us stay a bit calmer and not focus on the worries. But also, many people find it reassuring that meditating is actually a form of rest, and sometimes can be a very deep form of rest. So even if I'm awake in the middle of the night for hours, if I'm practicing mindfulness meditation, I'm still getting some pretty good rest. Another thing to know about sleep is it's not something that we can make happen or something that we do. It actually just happens to us. So we can set up habits to help ourselves get to sleep, and even if they don't work well to start with, there is some kind of embodied learning happening, and they're more likely to kick in over time. So sleep is also the most complex and least well understood human function. So we've still got a way to go in understanding some things about it. So let's explore a little bit about neuroplasticity. So one of the basic rules of neuroplasticity is whatever we pay attention to grows, and neurons that fire together wire together. So this means that if we wake up in the middle of the night and start worrying or fretting, or we start thinking of all the problems in our life and all the undone jobs, and then that strong emotional reaction associates with whatever else is in awareness, which is the, oh no, not again, I'm awake, then this emotional firing actually means that these events of being awake in the middle of the night light up as something to be remembered and actually inadvertently reinforces it. And it means that we're more likely to go down that path again, unfortunately. So, at the very least, we want to not reinforce the negative or unhelpful pattern by reacting to it. Rather, if we can relax, soothe ourselves, and calm ourselves, we're more likely to, firstly, actually drift off to sleep, and secondly, not reinforce that negative waking pattern, and thirdly, increase our chances of creating a more positive pattern, a new one. So let's look at ways of getting to sleep. Some tips about getting to sleep, often known as sleep hygiene. For a good hour before you go to bed, really important to try and wind down if possible. So do things that help ground you in the body and prepare the body to rest. So it's this winding down, slowing down, priming the body for sleep. So as part of this, really important not to look at screens because they kind of wake us up. No caffeine or stimulants, no alcohol. So even though alcohol is a depressant and it does sometimes help people or people feel like it helps them get to sleep, it actually means you have less quality sleep and it leads to more snoring and things like that. So no alcohol for a couple of hours before bed. Exercise is okay anytime. In fact, exercise really helps with sleep. But if you're doing super high intensity exercise, try to avoid that a couple of hours before bed. So let's try a practice, which is a nice one to use when you're settling down, trying to go into this winding down, settling down, priming the body for sleep state. And just a reminder to take good care. Not every practice will work for everyone. And also just do what feels right for you. So taking a moment to check in with your posture, making any adjustments so that you're comfortable. And if you're trying to go off to sleep, you might like to do this in a lying down position. And adding a little more to each in-breath and out-breath. Gradually deepening the in-breath, lengthening and slowing down the out-breath until it reaches a soothing rhythm for you. So inviting you to bring to mind a safe, calm place and imagine or visualize it as vividly as you can. If you're not a visual person, getting a sense of it. What is this place like? Where is it? It can be indoors or outdoors. It can be a place you've actually been to, or it can be completely imaginary, or a bit of both. What can you see when you're in this place? What are the colours? What's here? Remembering you can bring anything you like here. This is your place. Doesn't have to make sense or be logical. And what sounds can you hear in your safe place? Inviting you to bring sounds into this place that you find soothing, reassuring, You might have many options available to you, so just choosing one safe place for now. You can always develop others. Noticing what you can see and the sounds you can hear. Tuning into what you can feel with your body in this safe place. So noticing, for example, the temperature of the air. Is there a breeze or is it really still? What's the weather like? Noticing what you're in contact with. So for example, maybe there's a soft place where you can sit or lie or something you can lean against. What does it feel like? So you can bring whatever you need into this place. And of course that can change. You can invite people or other beings or creatures, animals to join you. And you can also be here on your own whenever you like. Or you can have people off in the distance and inviting you to position yourself in this safe place right now in a way that feels comfortable, that meets your needs. This is your place and it's inside of you, so it's always available. You can come here anytime. So inviting you to make a mental picture, like a postcard, of your safe place so that you can easily recall it and come back. And you might also like to give it a name and then gently letting that go and checking in internally, noticing how you're feeling right now, whether you feel any different or not, and where you are on that 0 to 10 scale, 0 being super relaxed and calm, 10 being the worst you've ever felt. So that is a place inside of you that you can visit anytime. Can be especially helpful if you know you're caught up in ruminating and you have a tendency when you're trying to get off to sleep to think about all the undone things or all the things that you need to worry about. So try replacing that worry time with this. And if you're worried about forgetting the worries, which is a real thing, then jotting them down. So just doing a bit of a brain dump, writing them all down, and then turning to this, bringing your safe place to mind. You can also have a few different safe places that suit you for different occasions. So let's explore right now getting back to sleep if you wake in the middle of the night, particularly if you start getting into ruminating, because often when we wake, all the stuff that we haven't had time to process or deal with during the day tends to crowd in. So remembering if we get highly agitated and very stressed or distressed, those exercises we tried in session one for interrupting high stress or distress come in really handy. So if you're very agitated, it might even make more sense to get out of bed and try doing something like the tensing and releasing or intense exercise to kind of process stress hormones, get them out of your system, and also help your body settle into the parasympathetic nervous system. So it sounds a little strange, but getting out of bed and doing this for a few minutes might actually lead to a better result. When you get back into bed, it might be easier to drop off to sleep. If you're not so agitated, then trying a practice, a meditative practice in bed, might be better. So remember that sleep is not something we do, it's something that happens to us. So we can't make it happen. So there's no point trying really hard to get to sleep. What we need to do is tune into something that relaxes us and primes the body for sleep. So the safe place is one way of doing that. And in a moment, we're going to try a practice called the body scan. And this one of the benefits of this practice is it often helps the body to drop into a state of rest. But we're not going to try and relax or try and rest. We're just going to tune into the body. So inviting you to settle into a comfortable position, and if lying down is okay for you, then that might be really good, but otherwise you can do this seated. And a reminder to take good care of yourself. Tuning into sensations in the body may not be for you all the time, or it may not be for everyone. So you can feel free to tune into something else, like something you can see, or sounds, or tuning into just the breath if you prefer. You might also, over time, find it really helpful to play some sort of calm, soothing music or sounds in the background as you practice the body scan. And that could be something like a distant drum beat, the sounds of rain or birds, anything you find soothing. So inviting you when you're ready to make adjustments to your posture, making sure you're warm enough and moving from discomfort towards comfort as best you can. So if there's any part of the body that you're tensing or holding up that you might be able to let go of a little more or provide some extra support for, just taking a moment to do that. And in this practice, the body scan, we're not trying to get anywhere or make anything happen. There's no particular way you're supposed to be. We're just tuning in to the body, to sensations as they change moment to moment. So there's no rush. Inviting you to begin by tuning into the whole body breathing, noticing the ebb and flow, the rise of the body on the in-breath, and the fall on the out-breath, and bringing an attitude as best you can of kind, curious, non-judgmental attentiveness to whatever is here, moment to moment. When you're ready, inviting you to bring your attention all the way down through the body into the feet, tuning in to sensations in the feet as best you can. Not so much thinking about the feet as feeling them, sensing into them. You might notice, for example, tingling, pulsing, warmth or coolness, sense of heaviness or lightness. You might notice contact with clothing or the surfaces supporting you, or the temperature of the air on the skin. Just opening to and becoming curious about whatever is here. And inviting you to narrow your focus right down to the right big toe. Seeing if you can tune into sensations here right now as best you can. And all of the other toes on the right foot, tuning in to the sole of the foot. How does that feel right now? The heel and the top of the foot, tuning into the whole of the right foot and ankle. Just noticing sensations as best you can. And if there's an absence of sensation, that's okay, no big deal. Just tuning into that, noticing its characteristics. So where does it start and finish? Is it moving and changing? Or is it always in the same spot? Letting your attention move up to the right lower leg and the right knee. Tuning into sensations here as best you can. You might begin by noticing sensations on the surface of the skin, like contact. And then letting your attention sink deeper inside the right knee and lower leg. Tuning into the right upper leg. Noticing what's here. And expanding your attention to the whole of the right leg and foot. Taking this broader interest in the whole leg. Noticing whatever sensations arise and draw your attention. If any. When you're ready, moving your attention to the left foot. And the left big toe, as best you can, noticing sensations here with this open, kind curiosity. What's it actually like right now? And then noticing each of the toes in turn on the left foot, tuning into the sole of the left foot, the top of the foot, the heel, the whole of the left foot. When you're ready, moving your attention to the left ankle and lower leg, noticing sensations here as best you can. Tuning into the left knee, sensations in and around the knee, and the left upper leg. If the mind wanders off and you find yourself lost in thought, that's okay, no big deal. As soon as you catch yourself, you're back in the present moment, you're aware. So just acknowledging briefly where your attention's gone to, and then bringing it back to the left upper leg, and just starting over, tuning into sensations. And then broadening your attention to the whole of the left leg and foot, the whole of both legs and feet. Noticing what's here, drawing your attention right now. Moving your attention when you're ready up into the pelvic region. Noticing sensations. And you might begin by noticing contact of the skin with clothing or the surfaces supporting you. And then letting your attention sink deeper. As best you can, bringing this open, kind curiosity, non-judgmental curiosity to whatever is here, tuning into the bare sensations. And when you're ready, letting your attention move up into the lower back, noticing sensations here, and the lower belly. So the whole of the lower torso, the lower back, belly, and pelvis. What's here now, if anything? And if you notice intense or distressing pain or intense or distressing sensations or emotions, there are a few ways you can work with it. So you might like to try really just tuning into the characteristics of the sensation. Wherever there's intensity, there's usually a lot of sensation going on. Seeing if you can become curious about it. Is it heavy or light? Does it have a temperature? Where exactly is it? Is it really concentrated in one spot or spread out? Is it really dense and heavy or light and nebulous? Does it have a color, a distinct shape, or are the edges fuzzy? Does it have a movement to it? Is it pulsing or vibrating, radiating, sinking? Is it morphing and changing into something else? Is it intensifying, dissipating? We're just staying with the sensation, and it's a bit like looking through a microscope, really trying to understand it in a very detailed way. If that becomes too intense, then feel free to just move your attention away to another part of the body that feels okay right now. So it might be a part of the body that's very neutral. Could be, for example, the contact of the back of your legs with the chair, or it could be the breath, letting your attention rest in this okay part of the body, letting yourself recover. And then when you're ready, just checking in again briefly with this place of intensity, seeing what's here now and whether it's changed. And you can move your attention back and forth between the place of intense sensation or emotion and this okay or more calm, settled place. You're in control of that. You can move your attention back and forth as often as you like, noticing how this place of intensity changes a little each time, or maybe a lot, or it may even disappear altogether. Thirdly, you can try breathing into the place of intensity. So you can take a deeper in-breath and direct the breath in your mind's eye into this part of the body, soothing and supporting, letting the breath move in and around and through in whatever way you'd like. And fourthly, you can try letting the sensation just take up as much space as it needs. It's like holding it in a bigger container. So letting it reverberate throughout the body, going wherever it needs to go, maybe even outside of the body, holding it in this big space of awareness. Not trying to contain it or stuff it down. So when you're ready, inviting you to move your attention from the lower torso to the middle of the torso, so the middle of the back, middle of the belly, and into the upper shoulders, upper back, and the chest. So the whole of the upper torso. Noticing sensations here as best you can. And tuning into the collarbone regions, upper shoulders, and the upper arms. Noticing sensations in the right upper arm, right elbow, noticing the right forearm and wrist, the right hand, and each of the fingers and thumb in turn on the right hand, broadening your attention to the whole of the right arm and hand. What's here now drawing your attention, if anything? And then when you're ready, tuning into the left hand thumb and each of the fingers in turn on the left hand, the back of the hand, the palm of the hand, the whole of the left hand and wrist, noticing sensations, the left forearm, elbow, the left upper arm, tuning into the whole of the left arm and hand, the whole of both arms and hands and the torso. Moving your attention when you're ready to the neck and throat, noticing sensations here, the back of the neck, the front of the neck, and inside the neck and throat. Tuning into the head, so the whole of the scalp, the back of the head, sides of the head and the ears, the right side of the head, the left side of the head, the chin and jaw, noticing sensations at the base of the ears, where the jaw joins with the skull. Tuning into the right ear, the left ear, the right cheek, the left cheek. Tuning into the mouth, noticing the lips, the upper and lower rows of teeth. And just being curious about whether they're touching or not and how they're held. Noticing how the tongue is held. Tuning into the nose and nostrils, the right eye, the left eye, and the forehead and the top of the head. Broadening your attention when you're ready to the whole body breathing and the space around the whole body. Just breathing. Gently bringing that to a close. Checking in internally, noticing how you're going right now. And coming back. So there are many ways of using the body scan. And you can do a longer version like that and not come back afterwards, just continue dropping into rest. You can do part of the body, just the lower body or the upper body. You can also, in your day, use tiny little practices to drop in and recharge, drop into rest. So here are five little ideas of things you could do during your day. So the first is just finding your feet. So tuning into sensations in your feet right now and spending a few seconds or a minute just exploring them, getting your attention as far away from your head as you can and grounding yourself. Secondly, you might like to try doing a short one or a few minutes of body scan. And one alternative is to try alternating your attention from the right side to the left side. Thirdly, you might like to try a walking practice. So when you're walking, getting out of your head and letting yourself tune into the sensations of walking, particularly on the soles of your feet. Fourthly, you might like to try listening to soothing or pleasant sounds that lift your mood. And they can be things like birds or rain, or they can be the sounds of music or the wind in the trees, anything you find soothing. And fifth, you might like to try 1 minute of breathing. So just focusing on the breath, tuning into the rhythm of the breath, and particularly focusing on the long, slow out-breath. So when we take a deep in-breath, it allows us to have a long, slow out-breath, and that activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is that rest, heal, digest state. These tiny little practices that you can use to rest briefly in between tasks, just to drop in and become more present. For most people, most of the time, being present and grounded in the body is inherently more relaxing or restful, partly because it's less complicated than not being present. So thank you for joining today. So here's a brief summary of what we've done. So we've spoken a bit about getting to sleep, winding down and reducing stimulation, and we try to practice the safe place practice. We also explored getting back to sleep when you wake in the middle of the night, so really learning to drop into rest and letting go of the struggle. So we're training the body to drop into rest. And we tried the body scan as a way of doing that and some little alternatives that you can do during the day briefly. So the invitation is to try one of these practices each day this week so you can remember them when you need them. So next week we'll be exploring self-compassion for carers, particularly for carers, really being on your own side and what that's like in the middle of tough times. If you would like to tap into more of the Caring Through COVID project, just a reminder that there's a podcast series with mental health carers, there's a whole lot of social media activity, and there's the Personal Wellbeing Index on the Carers Australia website. And if you feel like you need to talk to someone, you feel like you need more support, please check out the support services and free call numbers on the Carers Australia website. Thank you and see you next time.